episode of A Podcast About Music, which, if you're new here, is a podcast about music. I'm one of your hosts, Logan.
And I'm Eric.
Wait a second.
That was funny.
Hang on. No, yeah. I'm one of your hosts, Eric.
And I'm Logan.
And we're here to take you on what we believe is going to be an enlightening musical journey today.
Oh my gosh.
I like to call it a mini journey because
you're probably boring them already.
We're a little pressed for time today.
It's fine, whatever.
A medium-isode.
Kind of half effort sode. Except full effort, just half length. Eric, as the listeners know, you were not in the studio last week. So I did a solo episode.
And I appreciate
on Ariana Grande. Yeah. How have you been in those 2 weeks since we've last talked?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to remember.
As everyone knows, we don't talk outside of the episodes.
Trying to remember why I was detained last weekend.
Business trip.
I guess business trip or something, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, same old Logan. You know, it's that time of the year that I find a lot of my week is consumed by dealing with fall leaves falling. As in the beautiful foliage all over the lawn, the northeast lawn. And, you know, moving the leaves around, busying myself with leaves.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't be more fun?
Picking them up, blowing, raking. Though I've been reading a lot about these leaf blowers.
Mm-hmm.
Not healthy at all. I'm really trying to minimize the amount of leaf blowing I'm doing.
Not healthy to breathe in the fumes.
And it's not good for our planet. And it's not good for noise pollution in your particular community.
Well, sure.
In fact, they've outlawed it in certain spots.
Have they really?
Yes.
Wow.
That we're talking, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Gasoline, oil gas mixture.
Gas-powered
backpack blowers specifically.
Backpack blowers.
Yeah.
That's a good description. Thank you for asking. I was good last week and this week. Got some fun piano songs I'm working on.
Oh, yeah.
So I almost said something completely false. I don't know why. I thought I was acting or something. But no, I have some fun piano songs I'm working on, some jazzy stuff. And it should be a fun time. I'm enjoying learning more stuff on the piano. But enough about that. Who are we talking about this week, Eric?
John Denver.
Yes, we are.
Rest
in peace.
A lot of folks are familiar with John Denver. Perhaps they haven't jumped in as deep as we have into the John Denver swimming pool, if you will.
Sure.
Of knowledge.
Yeah.
And while Logan and I have done extensive research, we're not going to bore you all with all those details
today. I mean, we could tell you a lot about this guy named John Denver. But we're going to keep it short, sweet, and to the point.
Legendary.
As we always do.
John Denver. What would you classify his genre of music as?
I'd say folk.
Yeah, folk.
Folk, because there's an L. I know people say folk.
I think Merriam-Webster would probably.
Merriam?
Probably
it was Merriam-Webster.
Argue that it's a silent L, but.
Yeah, folk music.
Folk
whatever.
Music.
Yeah, folk music. I'd also say he was almost as notably an activist, also, for the environment and our beautiful planet that we live on. And he was also a human. Humanitarian.
Yeah.
Christ. Yes.
Logan.
My pronunciation is just getting worse and worse every week.
Well, I got one for you.
Yeah.
When he hit the scene in the late 60s, got a recording contract, started to gain some popularity, he didn't really go, he didn't blow the barn doors off of the music scene until the early 70s.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going by the name John Denver.
No, he wasn't.
That had to do with the image that his record label was pushing, which was an accurate image of his love of the mountains and Colorado, etc.
Yeah.
But speaking of pronunciations.
Sure.
He was born with what name?
Goodness gracious.
Let's see if I can do this one.
I could do the first two names. Henry John. Oh my goodness. Henry John Duchendorf. I have no idea.
Duchendorf?
Almost Deutschendorf?
I don't know.
Almost 100% incorrect. And I am, again, probably not the
best time
to do it. I'm trying out something new with my microphone.
Hmm.
So that might That might be bad for the audio this week, but...
Yeah, I'd go with Duschendorf Jr. Henry John Duschendorf Jr.
Mm-hmm.
On, he was born on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
1943.
Lucky.
1943.
Tell me about this guy.
Which means he would be turning 80 in a few years.
Goodness me.
Anyway, Logan.
Yeah.
Musical critics and even armchair critics would like to kind of put down his accomplishments, especially in the 70s when he had risen to such fame.
Don't as do that.
They would imply that he, you know, wasn't that talented or that deep of a songwriter, singer, guitarist.
He's and absolutely talented.
The truth was, I'm going to talk more about this in a minute, but I saw a great documentary about him, John Denver, Country Boy, I believe it was called, on Netflix several years ago. It's still available wherever you consume your
digital media.
Digital media, as they say. You can find it on Amazon Prime, etc. But they did a good job of pointing out just how enormous his popularity was, especially in the early to mid 70s. He was selling out stadiums routinely.
Yeah, I mean,
and
this guy had so many songs also. I'll talk
the
about that.
Comparison I heard was you had Sinatra,
yes,
and after him Elvis, and after him the Beatles.
Yeah.
And John Denver was in that same echelon.
Yeah,
how
sure.
do you say I mean, that word? I don't know.
No idea.
He was of that caliber. His popularity was just enormous. With his fans, sure. Who else are you going to be popular with?
Mm-hmm.
But for good reason. I think it's time we started giving our fans some song suggestions, unless you have some more bio you want to cover,
well,
since we didn't cover any.
Well, how about this? I'll suggest maybe two songs, and then I would love to start getting into the life of the legend. Well, probably his most popular song, Take Me Home, Country Road.
Sure.
Almost everyone has heard that. And if you haven't, I strongly suggest to check it out. But that's going to be my first song suggestion this week. Kind of a classic. If you haven't heard it, you certainly will love it. So that'll be the first down below.
I think that is the song that launched him into superstardom and got his sort of radio plays up
Definitely.
To such a high level.
Yeah.
Brought him to the masses, as they say.
Yes, yeah, I agree. You have any other songs you want to suggest before I continue with his biography?
So many, but I'll wait. Why don't you hit us with some bio?
Okay, well, he was born on New Year's Eve, as you said, in Roswell, New Mexico.
Mm.
Said that right, correct?
Sure.
Yeah, he was born to Captain Henry John Dutch Sr. and a U.S. Army Air Forces pilot. That was his father, so he was in the Air Force. And his mother, Emma Louise, was, I don't know, no one knows what she did for a living. Might not have.
Maybe homemaker.
Stay-at-home mom. Whatever she did, she brought up old John Denver well, because he turned out to be one of my favorite musicians. John Denver described his life as the eldest son of a family shaped by a stern father who could not show his love for his children. Because John Denver's father was in the military and his family moved often, it was difficult for him to make friends and fit in with other children of his own age. Constantly being the new kid was troubling for the introverted John Denver, and he always grew up feeling as though he should be somewhere else, but never knew where that right place was. And while the family was stationed in Tucson, Arizona, John Denver was a member of the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus for 2 years. He was happy living in Arizona, but his father was then transferred to Montgomery, Alabama, where Denver disliked the racism of his segregated school. Can't blame him. That must have been horrible. What else do you got, Eric?
Logan, you mentioned his dad was a pilot, right?
Yes.
As many of you may or may not know, one of John Denver's greatest passions in life was that he himself was a pilot, a private pilot.
Yes, he was.
Flying his own airplanes, building airplanes at times, and being extremely involved in this sort of general aviation community of private piloting.
And unfortunately, you know, that's what got him.
Yes, we do know that he met his fate. What year was it?
Let me see.
He did die in a plane crash.
1997.
He was piloting by himself while he was, I believe he was test flying an airplane he was considering buying.
A very small,
experimental, home-built airplane.
Yeah.
And he unfortunately ran out of gas.
Oh, that's horrible.
So, the point I was getting at.
Yeah.
I believe some have speculated, and he may have said it himself. I can't remember the documentary too well. But
yeah, I've never seen it.
One of his reasons for being so drawn to flying was that it was a connection to his dad,
who he wasn't
terribly close to.
Well, he died on October 12th, 1997, when his experimental, I believe it's pronounced Rutan Long Easy Plane. Do you know how to pronounce that?
I think Rutan. Yeah.
Rutan Long Easy Plane. I even have the aircraft registration number, but I don't think that's relevant. It crashed into Monterey Bay near Pacific Grove, California, while making a series of touch-and-go landings at a nearby airport. He was the only occupant of the aircraft, and identification was not possible using dental records, so only his fingerprints confirmed that he was the pilot.
TMI.
Well, it happened, unfortunately, yeah. Because I believe... I really would have wanted to see him live if he were still around.
I'm sure.
Thankfully, we have all the recordings of his 300 songs.
I heard that. 300 recorded songs, 200 of which were...
composed by him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Original compositions, as they
yes,
say.
That's the word. That's unbelievable to me that he could not only compose 200... original songs, I assume they were original because he composed them, but have that much energy inside of you to do all that also is just incredible to me. So it's a real testament to how big of a person he was and how musically active he was up until his death.
Sure.
Yeah. You have any songs you want to suggest?
Yes, I do.
Great.
You talked about Country Roads.
Yes, I did.
The other one that seems to be synonymous with him and his life is Rocky Mountain High.
It is.
Another beautiful song that, on the surface, again, critics may scoff at their simplicity. Listen to the song. Hard not to thoroughly enjoy it and appreciate the musicianship and the beauty of his lyrics and singing and guitar playing. But again... if you dive one layer deeper, it's hard to keep a dry eye, if you will.
Yeah, really.
Have you ever heard of a song called Sunshine on My Shoulders?
I have not.
No? I would sing it if I could.
I mean, open mic here on a podcast about music.
Yeah, that's another wonderful song. I think those three do a really good job of summing up his style.
Yeah, so what was that song? So I could write it down.
Oh, Sunshine on My Shoulders?
Great.
Yeah.
Sunshine on my, not only, but on my shoulders. What else do you want to talk about before we move into Real or Fake?
One more song.
Great.
Follow Me.
Okay. Where are we going?
Very funny.
Get it?
Yeah, because
yeah,
no,
the
it.
Song's titled, yeah. Okay. But seriously, I have heard Follow Me. I just gotta say, what an incredible song.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, all of his songs are absolutely beautiful. And I cannot believe that we have the honor of talking about him on the show.
Indeed.
Great. Well,
Logan,
if it's okay with you.
Sure. Absolutely it is.
Moving
when
on
I'm
to
done,
real-
when yep. I'm done adding this
wow.
addition.
Very sneaky of you.
He had a long friendship with, believe it or not, Jim Henson, the creator of The Muppets.
Yes.
And he was a staple of a lot of Muppets programming throughout the 70s and 80s, especially their Christmas specials. those of you familiar with the Muppets, or even those of you unfamiliar, may remember
yeah.
seeing John Denver there with those adorable little fur balls. What are the Muppets?
What are the Muppets? That's correct. I remember seeing John Denver on in one of the Muppet movies a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it might have even been the Muppets Rocky Mountain High. I have to search that now. But yeah, I remember seeing him and not knowing who he was at the time, but hearing the music, and that's kind of, it was John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together.
Speaking of movies, you know, he starred in some movies as well. Most notably, Oh God, Oh Comma God.
Yeah.
Starring John Denver and the also late, great George Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Many of you will or will not remember that as well. Check out the movie. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, really. Now, if it's okay with you, if I have your blessing.
Approved.
Wow. Before we even go on, may we move to Real or Fake?
Move it along, Logan.
Great. Hello and welcome to a lightning round of Real or Fake. I am one of your sorcerers, Logan.
And I'm Eric.
I don't know why I said sorcerers. Just to mix it up, I guess. Eric, I will go first this week because my stories are pretty short. Ready, set, go. Story number one. A woman has said she thinks her friend's baby will be bullied growing up after the soon-to-be mom revealed the name she had chosen. But others said she was right to advise against it. This woman was talking about baby names with her friend and was left stunned when the friend, whose surname or last name is Green, announced that she had decided to call her son Black. The baby's name would be Black Green. So the name would be two colors. And she thought that kid would get bullied because he has like a quarter of a crayon box as a name.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sounds mm-hmm. stranger than fiction to me.
The truth is always stranger story. Than fiction.
Yeah, okay.
We'll have to see if that's actually the truth or not, because story number two is about a guy named Frank Penn. Frank Penn of Greater Heights, Michigan, was arrested yesterday afternoon for what was called suspected animal trailing. Animal trailing, which is the act of following a particular animal for long periods of time and trying to get it to act like a person, is illegal in Michigan and can warrant a hefty fee.
What kind of animal?
Didn't say. No one knows. No one knows.
Logan, I see you put a lot of effort into your Real or Fake this week.
Thank you.
Wow, interesting. I'm going with story number two, Fake-a-Rooney.
You are correct.
I've never heard of animal trailing.
Yeah, because it doesn't exist.
Especially trying to make it exhibit human-like qualities. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't even know how that would work, just following it.
Fun story, Logan. Fun story. All right. Thank you. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you cite your sources?
No. The first one was from Mirror. .co.uk, I think. And the second one was from my head. Wonderful. My Head Incorporated.
Logan, if you don't mind, I'm going to hit you with my two stories, lightning round style, and tell you that the common theme is the same as it was 2 weeks ago.
Great.
The moon, the Earth's moon, continues to be the source of Real or Fake info.
I love the moon.
Logan,
mm-hmm.
story number one.
Great.
There's a NASA rocket that was launched in 1966, I want to say.
Yeah.
That had a moon rover, if you will. You know, unmanned, unpersoned
sure.
rocket up to the moon to potentially investigate it.
I understand.
As far as I can tell, it was a failure of a mission. The entire apparatus was lost in space and believed destroyed. Just recently, astronomers saw mm-hmm. what they thought was a meteor of sorts.
Yeah.
They were tracking it. It looked like it was going to be headed into the Earth's orbit. They realize that it's actually one of the rocket boosters from the 1966 launch.
Wow, really?
Has returned from some sort of big old orbit around our sun for all these years, and it's going to be orbiting the Earth a few times over the next, I guess, weeks, months, and then taken off again to continue its solar orbit. So,
wow, cool.
This rocket booster from the spaceship from 1966 is going to be circling the Earth a few times and then taken off again.
Pretty cool.
Very cool. That's story numero uno. Story number two is actually part two of a real or fake a few weeks ago. Remember Nokia was selected to set up the first cell phone network on the moon?
I do remember that, yeah.
Or at least data network.
I think that was 2 weeks ago, by the way. Correct. You know, you weren't yeah. here.
Yep. This week, last Tuesday, they released further details. Cool. While the rest of the planet is getting excited about 5G, they said they're skipping an entire generation. They're going to be rolling out 7G on the moon when they do.
They're skipping.
They
already have 5G?
Well, Verizon's got it. They don't need it. This is Nokia.
Okay, so they're skipping two generations.
Well,
because if they don't have 5G, they don't have any generations. They're skipping. Well, they probably have 4G, right?
I think you know what I'm talking about.
They skip two. They skip 5G and 6G.
They're going to 7.
Cool.
Might be a marketing scheme, because we know that these numbers mean nothing, except probably. That it's the 7th generation.
And faster.
But you better believe that astronauts will be able to FaceTime with their families.
Probably already can.
From the moon, a lot faster than they could have back in 1969.
Well, because
when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin stepped foot on the moon.
You know why it would be a lot faster now than in 1969?
No FaceTime.
No FaceTime in 1969.
Correct.
Infinitely faster. Even with a delay.
Buzz Aldrin is probably just amazed to see everything going on now.
Yeah, I think that story was fake.
You are correct.
Wow. Deadpan that one. But
thank you very much.
There we have it. Weekly Wisdom. That is another part of the show we do. Eric, please entertain the listeners while I grab our life hacks this week.
Folks, what do you call a ball of twine
that's very entertaining
that has rolled down a hill and is now covered in mud? Oh, and Logan is back, luckily, with the life hack for this week.
Yeah, I have two life hacks.
Let's see what they are. Story number one, or not story, you know what I mean. Whenever you get burned, apply toothpaste to the area. It soothes the pain and stops the burning sensation.
Good one.
Thanks. Number two, not getting enough juice out of your limes, pop them in the microwave for 30 seconds and you'll have the juiciest limes ever. The juice will be the envy of the neighborhood. Eric.
That's a great story.
Pop them limes in the microwave, as I always say. That's been it this week, I think.
It's been a great, great Minnesota.
Yeah, it really has. And, you can check out our sponsor, get some free email marketing solutions, what have you, whatever. I told you about that last week. Eric, it was a pleasure chatting with you today. We will be back next week as scheduled, maybe even on a Saturday to kick it old school.
Looking forward to it.
All right. In that case, pop them limes in the microwave, and we will see you next week.